So, it's kind of hard to say, but, I have a problem with my package.
Well, have you heard of Felix? Felix can connect you to a doctor to medically assess erectile dysfunction with no face-to-face conversation, and, if applicable, they will deliver treatment straight to your door.
Wait, so a package for my package?
Yes, a package for your package. From Felix. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Go time, Overdrive, off and running, TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Just very average names, right? Names that don't pop. Hayes, O'Neill, McLennan. Like, there's nothing to it, right? There's nothing overly ethnic or interesting. It's just, those are just three names. And Frankie Lasagna is a handle that is officially a part of the Toronto Sports.
It's not his last name, right?
Apparently it is his last name, Lasagna? And he owns an Italian joint. So I'm just, here's what I thought about last night. I'm like, that either was changed, which is brilliant marketing, or is there people that have a last name and they actually like do that for a living? Like, you know what, what if he didn't like pasta? What if he was a, what if that was a fish store that he owned? You can't do it with the last name Lasagna. You just flat out can't do it.
I don't know how that works. I mean, by all accounts, it sounds as if the birth certificate says Lasagna. So that means you got a Mr. and Mrs. Lasagna.
Get out of here, man.
I thought the same thing, dude. When I saw it last night, I'm like, clearly his name is not Lasagna. But
I would
his,
name my son Meat.
No. That'd be a great handle.
Yeah,
right?
Geez. What's your name? Meat Lasagna.
Meat Lasagna. Because awesome. I figured the same thing. Like, come on down to Frankie Lasagna's. I got the best lasagna in town. You know, it's like, okay, that's pretty good. You know, nice marketing campaign. But by all accounts, that is legitimate. And we're going to call him up in a few moments and get to the bottom of what happened last night, where glove guy, finally acceptable to bring your glove. In a situation like that, 100% acceptable. If you're sitting in left field, anywhere in the park, you bring a glove.
Yep.
And you got gloves, and it was useless. I mean, the ball's right there for you. That was a tough catch. Tough catch, but
my contractor was 10 meters away from that.
No way.
He's a manly man, and I said, did you bring a glove? And he said, what are you, crazy? Of course I did. And he would never be glove guy.
Well,
he brought a glove, and he said it was mayhem down there. And he said that guy – like, what is that guy declining to comment? What is he?
The guy with the goggles and threw the guy with the goggles.
Was he having an affair or something that he didn't want anyone to know he was there? Or why didn't blue shirt guy want to have anything to say?
Because he's so rattled. He just let a winning lottery ticket drop into the bullpen. I'm going over the wall. I'm telling you guys, I said the first thing I said to Steph last night, I'm like, why the hell did somebody not jump down there into the bullpen and grab that ball? You think the players down there would have been like, no, no, you can't have it. We're going to, like, they don't care. They all make it.
Easy. What's the ruling
money
on that? Guy
jump
goes overboard,
jump
into the dugout, and rips it out of the hands of the guy in the dugout.
Well, I'm not sure how that actually would work in terms of the law, you know, and security. I think you're getting kicked out. But if you get your hands on that ball, then that's your ball, I think, you know, regardless of how it all plays out, because it's a battle for sure.
But hear me out. I don't think you're ripping it out of the hands. It's an instinct. Was it years ago? I saw the guy on Letterman. There was a field goal or something, and the guy jumped through the stands down the tunnel and caught the ball.
Yeah, that was in Chicago. It was a Bear fan. And then he was fine. He returned to his seat holding the ball in the air, and he got a standing ovation.
But all I'm saying is let's say that's 250 to 500 grand. I don't know what the price is going to be for that ball, but if you're that close, you could jump over. I guarantee you the guys in the bullpen would have given it. It would have been like, yeah, that's
Hazy,
yours.
You're the voice of reason.
I don't know if they would.
If you're that guy, what are you doing? Are you going overboard to catch that?
Here's the thing, okay? For starters, if you've got a glove and if you're in left field, you know Judge is up. Anyone else in the order for the Yankees or the Jays, you don't have to pay attention. But the second Judge is up, you better be in a defensive position. You better be prepared to leap over that thing if you have to. Clearly, Frankie Lasagna and Billy Cannoli, whoever the other guy was, they were not prepared defensively. But here's what I would say, Noodles, because I'm going to challenge you.
Okay.
I'll challenge the other guy, too.
You think pro athletes would say, here you go, to a fan if they had the ball?
I
they would have said, you're a loser.
Right in the face and said, security, get him out of here.
Noodles,
this is going to judge.
If you were on the ice and some guy scored 50 and 50 and the puck came to you and there was a fan that came to grab it, there's no way you'd hand it to the fan.
Look at what he did to Holmstrom in front of the net. Imagine what he'd do to some pigeon with a mullet and a mustache.
And a glove.
Monarchs on and Wrangler jeans in front of his net. He'd kill him.
There's no way you'd hand that puck over.
You're making a great point, but I think those guys, baseball's a very friendly sport. It's casual. We've talked about it. The Jays are laughing it up in the dugout. Like, I think if a guy went all over in one reaction, not it's hit the ground, you've grabbed it, and then some lunatic jumps over 10 seconds later. If somebody was committed and they missed it, it was that close, and they went over after it, I think they would see if the person was all right. Chances are you break your leg. There's a chance. That's a ways down there. So the guy'd be laying there. I think there would be half the guys in the dugout would be like, okay, tase this guy and drag him out. And the other half would be like, you know what? Go ahead. Have it. You just pot committed yourself for that. I don't know. It would be interesting to see, because you make a great point, Hayes. I never thought about it. Like, if I there was a twice in my career where people jumped on the ice, like flat out jumped on the ice. Once in Vancouver, the guy was running right towards me, and I was ready. I was going to chop him with my stick, and the refs grabbed him, and one of the opposing players grabbed him. But this was different. I didn't have a puck that was, you know, somebody's 50 goals.
What
like
I'm
Wade
saying
Gretzky's
is,
92, you know?
I think the brethren of Major League Baseball, they caught that and they said, this is going to Judge. It's
no
not
kidding,
going to Frankie
dude.
Lasagna. And
fair
that's my
enough.
Point. I think if you jump over and you try to reason with whoever catches it, I don't think they're going to reason with you. I think Judge hitting it where he hit it was actually incredibly advantageous, because obviously if it's in the seats, he's not getting it again. But the bullpen coach grabs it and immediately he realizes, this has got to go back to Judge. Like, it has to. It's just like the unwritten rules in sport. Clearly, he's going to get it. I was praying Kikuchi was going to get that thing. I think it would have been hysterical if you say Kikuchi caught that and didn't hand it over. 36 mil plus 300 grand to get the ball. Or he demanded a meet and greet with Judge, and Judge turns it down. That would have been hysterical.
Yeah.
But, listen, that's probably the two most famous home runs historically, both went into the bullpen. The Joe Carter walk-off in 93, I think you could argue the bat flip game was clearly a bigger one for Blue Jays, you know, history. But in terms of, like, him hitting 61 last night and what will be replayed for a long time and remembered for a long time, the fact that Carter hit it effectively to the same spot or close to it, no one got it, no fan, and now Judge hit 61 and no fan, come on. No wonder they're going to renovate. That doesn't happen next year. The renovations, you've got bleachers. You've got someone right on top of the wall. If he hits 61 this time next year, Frankie Lasagna or whoever else has that ball. But the renovations are a year too late.
Well, I think it's a bit of a stretch to get into the reno element of it. I mean, how many you'd actually see more go into the stands than hit that wall there, don't you, Hayes? Like, I would say the majority get to the fans.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't know exactly what the stats are. All I'm saying is the Carter walk-off didn't get to the stands, and now the Judge one didn't get to the stands. You know, arguably the two most famous home runs hit in that park.
Sure.
You know, game five bat flip notwithstanding.
I think it's the best way. Go right to the player. Are you talking about the fans' perspective? It would be nice to get
that. I'm just
that
talking
ball.
In general. I'm just saying, I think if you asked people, like, wow, that any other park, for the most part, there's fans right on the wall.
Agreed with that.
You know, the Rogers Center is very unique the way it's built, and they're getting rid of that. They're doing the renovations, and there won't be that, you know, break, as far as I know. I think you're going to have fans right on top of the wall.
I mean, you make an interesting point, the perspective. I didn't think about, you know, the fan encroaching on the player's space. I mean, that, you know.
There's no way the fan's getting that ball.
Yeah,
if he
but
goes
the bullpen
down
out there, like, it's.
He gets
it's
mauled, man.
Fun and game. Well, they're not going to boot him. The guy's laying there, and you're going to, what, lay the boots to him? Six pitchers are going to lay
Take
the boots
a look,
to the guy?
And I think we've played it before. My good man, Robbie Ray. In
well,
Quebec.
That's different. That guy was
he
angry.
Grabs
he grabs
a guy and absolutely destroys him.
but he was angry and drunk and going after one of the refs, was he not? And then remember the guy who got run by the linesman? He was
that
going
was
after
Boston,
Coho,
I think.
Ronnie Asselstein, absolutely pile drive, a guy with a mullet. He was jogging really comfortably. And he was about, he was trying to get to Billy McCreary.
It was Billy.
He's trying to get to Billy McCreary, and he's half in the, he's fully pissed. And he just thinks he's getting close to Billy, and he. Joe, find the guy.
That's
find Ronnie Asselstein.
That's in Buffalo, though. I think that was in Buffalo.
Buffalo or Boston. Those old rinks kind of look the same. But he absolutely gets pile-drived right into the end boards. And I don't know how he made it through that one.
Yeah,
and, but
he really. That was like a 25-game suspension.
He took a beating.
The Robbie Ray incident too. Like you're right. Like fans shouldn't be interacting. This is a unique situation. This wasn't a fight. This guy wasn't overserved and was looking to start some trouble. He was just trying to get a winning lottery.
Of course, and I understand that. It's got to be sickening. What I'm saying is, if the ball is in there and someone affiliated with the Jays gets it, and a fan drops down and tries to wrestle it, there's no chance they're getting that ball.
Oh, no.
Like, there's just no chance.
Yeah.
And no one, like, it's going right to Aaron Judge, and that's the way it played out. All right, we have Frankie Lasagna on the line.
Which, a beauty.
Yeah, we got to get to the bottom of this is his real name, because I had the same thing. I was thinking, this guy's got the best lasagna in town, and he goes by Frankie Lasagna.
Legally change his name.
Legally changing his name, or even just for promotion, right? Like, you're a restaurateur. And you've got an Italian restaurant, you would think Frankie Lasagna is a pretty good handle for that. And even though he missed catching the ball, getting a lot of pub for the restaurant, right? Where the other guy who's not speaking to anyone, who knows what the hell he does? So here he is. He had the glove. He was glove guy in left field last night. He was one of the two guys that were right there to catch the Aaron Judge 61st home run. Here is Frankie Lasagna. Frankie. How are you feeling less than 24 hours later, missing out on arguably a $300,000 ball?
I'm not losing any sleep over missing it, but I've definitely been enjoying all the fun and good times everyone's having with this. And it's been definitely a whirlwind this morning and a little bit last night.
Yeah, so Frankie Lasagna. Okay, before we get to the play.
Yeah.
That's your real name, Frankie Lasagna.
On my birth certificate, my real name is Francesco Lasagna.
Wow.
But I go by Frankie Lasagna.
That's outstanding. So do you claim to have, like, the best lasagna in town or what?
No, I don't serve lasagna, and I don't like it, and I never liked it growing up.
What?
Hang on a second.
You're kidding.
I don't even care about the baseball anymore.
We got 20 minutes
you
of lasagna
You don't even
time.
Like lasagna, and
I
your
don't,
name's
I don't.
Francesco Lasagna?
I don't. I will choose a bowl of pasta 100 times before I choose a plate of lasagna.
You're kidding.
Won't even think twice.
What kind of Frankie Lasagna are you?
Well, tell me about it. Well, the background story, my mom is Canadian. She's born in Winnipeg. So she never had the Italian cuisine in her recipe book. My dad can't cook. And so it was came down to my aunt. And my aunt had some killer lasagna and still – Never liked it. Didn't like the hard shell on top. Just never ever appealed to me. Maybe as a young kid I was because of my name, maybe I had a little thing there, but still to this day I'm 37 and when lasagna comes out of the oven, I'm not jumping for it, that's for
wow.
sure.
You haven't tried Brian Hayes's lasagna.
That's
he
right.
makes a mean lasagna.
I'll hook
well,
it
maybe
up.
Maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah, you're not hooking it up. You're telling us you brought one 3 years ago.
I'm not hooking you two idiots up. I don't care about you. I just heard Frankie Lasagna doesn't like lasagna. I mean that's sickening. That's
I don't
even
care
worse
about
than
the baseball
the
anymore. I just it's baffling. But that's Hazy, get to the story.
Well, yes, okay. Let's get to the bottom of this because you were out there in left field. How often have you been in left field? And if it's more than just last night, how often do you bring your glove with you?
Okay, so never bring my glove. To answer to question B. Mm-hmm. How often am I in left field? Well, to be honest, if I'm going to go and I'm the one purchasing tickets for a game, I always try to get front row in the outfield at some point. I sat there one time. We were right over center field with a couple buddies, and I thought it was the coolest seats. You can spit on the field, and you have a little bit better percentage over every other role behind you, I felt, in catching any possible home run ball. So when it came time to get tickets this time around, we knew that Judge was approaching 60, 61. He was at 54 when I actually bought the tickets. I went with a good buddy of mine, Larry, and he's a big Yankee fan, so we always try to go to a game once a year. And so I'm like, okay, it's our last chance. We weren't able to go during the season, so this was our last chance. And I said, okay, you know what? We're gonna go to the Wednesday game. It works out better for my schedule, my family, blah blah blah. And then I filtered all the filters out and stood front row in the outfield, 100 level, and I saw row one, and I didn't really matter where it was. I just wanted to get row one in the left field somewhere. And thinking, okay, you know, maybe it'll bounce off someone, maybe I'll get lucky, but to come right at you within a few feet, oh, man, it was surreal.
How did Larry take the disappointment? Well, he must have got into it last night. I guarantee it.
The other guy?
Yeah, Larry.
Oh, Larry. Well, he said I pushed him a little bit. I kind of karate chopped him in the neck as I dove for it.
Larry was icing down after the game because
chopped. Watch it, Frankie. We'll edit that out. It's all good. There's Larry. We can see Larry.
Yeah, I hit him in the neck, and he kept his friends of his, and his family would keep sending him like, "Oh, look what Frankie did to you." And I'm like, "Hey, it wasn't personal. It's just I was going for that ball." So I'm sure he's icing it this morning.
Oh, he should be. Yeah, for sure. Well, at least the Yankees won and they clinched, and you got to see Judge.
Yeah,
at 61.
The Yankees won. He clinched. He won our bet, and so he's happy.
Okay, we're chatting with Frankie Lasagna. He was one of the two guys right there with his glove in left field last night for Judge hitting 61. So everyone's seen it from afar, and everyone's got a different view on how catchable the ball was. Give us the full breakdown. Like, when that's in the air, did you feel like you had a legitimate shot at catching the ball?
Kind of, I guess, yeah. When it first comes off, it's in your dreaded direction. I used to play baseball, so you're anticipating every pitch, and you kind of like getting ready like all the fielders, and then it comes up, and instinct just takes over, and there was a mom and a little son in seat one and two, and we were three and four, so I kind of made a joke. I'm like, our chances that the ball goes to our right are a little bit better than if you go to the left, because the guy to my left was 6'4", 250 pounds. So we liked our chances with the mom and kid, and I had to say, if I was sitting in their seats, I would have maybe had a better shot at it instead of leaning over, because the guy who went off his glove, he was full stretched out.
He was freaking out, right? Like, he threw his glove after. He was
He felt it. He actually felt it go off his glove, where
yeah,
I didn't feel nothing other than disbelief.
Right. So was he just like sick the rest of the night? Like, what was up with that guy? Because he's not talking to anyone.
He didn't want the guy. There's some guy came to interview me. I think he asked him first. He denied. He asked my buddy Larry second. My buddy Larry denied. And then he asked me. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll talk. And,
Wow. Larry's going to talk
Okay, I've got a question for you, Frankie. Like, was there any – we had a debate before you came on. Yeah. Was there any instinct in you to go over? Like, with the ball?
Jamie, I flashes of that, I can't remember how long ago, was that football guy that jumped over the railing and caught
right.
the football.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was thinking, I leaned over, and, I have a small fear of heights. I fell a long time ago, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, maybe you wouldn't get that hurt. Like, how? And then if you're down there, is it you versus the Jays bullpen? Like, is it free-for-all?
Yeah, they'll
what's
kick
the rule?
Your ass.
That's the problem,
ass,
right? Yeah, like Romano comes down. He likes lasagna. He'll lay a beating on you if you try to get that ball.
Romano, yeah. Well, I definitely thought. I had thoughts of, sneaking a fishnet in my pants somehow. If I can find one. If I would have had one, I would have caught it for sure. But, it was, me and Larry both think it was uncatchable from where we are. But I'm a slightly a little taller. I had a first baseman's glove. Maybe if I was in Buddy's spot, I could have maybe Maybe, I don't know, but
right, it was possible. So tell us though, like if the kid had it, what happens? Do you think it's a brawl to get that ball, even if the kid grabs it, or would you let the kid have it?
No. Would you take it off the kid is the question.
I'm not that desperate in my life where I would fight a kid or anyone for that matter. I can't say the same about some of the other fans over there. But
would Larry have put the kid in like a
Larry would have put him in a chokehold for sure.
Oh, that's not surprising for Larry.
Guy named Larry is going to chokehold a kid for the baseball.
Oh yeah,
and
sure.
That is undisputed. With Nike Monarchs on.
He's definitely throwing elbows for sure.
Yeah, I would assume so. So yeah, Frankie Lasagna.
Yeah, I got two kids now. I gotta look good at the parent pickup. I can't,
Right, you gotta be careful. Well, so you own a restaurant, right? It's Terrazza. It's called, right? Is it down on Harvard?
Yeah,
I believe.
Terrazza restaurant. Yeah.
And
Harvard.
In a way, do you think this is actually gaining you more kind of publicity because you missed it? Like everyone's talking about you, and everyone's talking by extension about your restaurant. You think your restaurant's going to be buzzing now? I'm sure it's doing great anyway. I've heard great things about your spot. But do you expect people to be like, we got to get down here
now? I definitely was like, oh, man, I could be slammed tonight. I could be busy, which that's great. Might get new customers. Might get some weirdos coming in. Mm-hmm. It's all great. But then, of course, my pizza cook texts me. He's sick and can't come in.
Uh-oh.
So called my sister. She's going to come serve. I'm going to go and make pizzas tonight. So,
and bring Larry. Larry will go in and help.
Bring Larry and mix in a lasagna for us.
I think I'm going to have to put Larry at the door to keep the unruly customers.
As you should. We love it. All right, Frankie. Well, I mean, listen, man, the whole world's buzzing about you guys last night. Bringing the gloves. You had an opportunity. It was right there for you.
Yeah,
but we appreciate you kind of breaking it down for us, and good luck with everything moving forward.
Yes, thank you, boys. Thank you, boys. Love the show. Thanks.
You got it. We appreciate you coming on. There he is, Frankie Lasagna, Francesco Lasagna, who hates lasagna.
He's pissed off a lot of Italians. One of our favorites, Andy Petrillo. I can't even read the text out loud. Like, she's like, this guy, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's...
Like, as an Italian, you don't like lasagna?
What are the
chances? I don't know. I have never met one person in my life that's like, nah, I don't like lasagna. No one dislikes lasagna except a guy named Francesco Lasagna who karate chops his buddy named Larry at baseball games.
It's a wild story, isn't it?
It's a wild... I could have talked to that guy for four more hours.
We need to paint a picture of what Larry looks like. Does Larry have a mustache? I can't tell from the
Rappler,
replay.
Text Larry right now.
He won't
or
talk.
Or no, Frankie.
Yeah.
Text Frankie Lasagna and just very simply, does your friend Larry have a mustache? And I'll put $85,000 on the line that says it comes back yes.
I'm so happy his name's Larry. I couldn't be happier. Right? Frankie Lasagna and Larry. Like, you couldn't write that script.
Yeah.
And they, he's right there. He's got the opportunity, and he couldn't get it. He needed it to go towards the kid. Now, that would have been a crazy story, man. If that's right at the kid and some guy puts his glove in front of the kid, grabs that ball, then you're talking bedlam because it's instinct. It's absolutely instinct. It's worth a lot. But
if the kid gets it, Hayes, you have to have a friend, and you're next to the kid. You have to have a friend that pushes you over, so you kind of get into a small scrum with the kid, and you're on the ground, and then you snatch it away.
Right. Yeah,
that
is
probably... got to be. Yeah, there's a way about going to do that.
Well, I mean, honestly, it just anytime you mix in the kid, it worries you because optically it's bad. Remember that game, the bat flick game, wasn't there people throwing beer and there was a kid down low that got hit with a beer and stuff?
That's right.
And half the people were like, well, don't bring a kid to the game when you know it was going to be unruly. Like it was a baby or something. And other people were like, well, just don't be idiots. So I can't see a winning formula for Larry and Frankie going after a kid for the ball.
I think you're probably right, but there's so much reaction coming in. And forget the ball. It's that Frankie Lasagna doesn't like lasagna.
People are so upset.
I'm somewhat disturbed by that. Like, I am. You know me and a lasagna. I love a lasagna. There's no way he wouldn't enjoy my lasagna. There's no way.
Well, he said it being hard on top. Like, if it's – maybe it was made poorly in his house. He said his mom's Canadian from Winnipeg, right?
Right.
So – you know, maybe just he had a bad experience.
Possibly, and that can happen, right? Like you get the wrong food at the wrong time.
Here's the thing. When you own an Italian restaurant, how do you not have lasagna on the menu? He doesn't have it on the menu.
No, he hates it. Like that, actually, I'll give him credit because that's genuine. Like he really dislikes it to that point. And
I got to respect him for that. At least, like, that's a, like being named Bob Fishman or Bob Fish, and you don't like fish. Like,
Bob Wings. Just, Bob Pizza. Bob Wings. Larry Pizza. And you're like, I won't do it. I can't eat pizza.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, well, lasagna. I feel like now it's ringing a bell. I think I had a teacher named Mr. Lasagna.
No, you didn't.
I'm telling you, man, I think I remember a lasagna. I think I do.
Ask your mother, because I guarantee you're a fraud. And people are saying Frankie Lasagna should be on the fraudometer because he's lasagna and he doesn't eat lasagna.
Right. I love how he's like, I played baseball as a kid, so I thought I had a shot at it. Like, that makes a difference. That thing was on a frozen rope. That was a scud missile to left.
What, like, wasn't it his hardest hit home run of the season?
In turn, like, it got off his bat so quickly. And Tim Mesa, he was trying to avoid it, right? Like, they walked him his first at bat. Mesa was trying to paint the corners, and he left one out. And obviously, Judge hit that thing up.
And that is why he's been having lawn bowling pitches thrown at him, because you make one mistake. That's the one mistake, and it's out of the park.
Mesa knew it right away. He was
he's like, goodbye.
Sure. Yeah.
The crack of the bat. I'll bet you it sounded like concrete being crushed. I mean, he hit that so hard. But, what are you going to do? Frankie Lasagna. And I want to know the story of the other guy, the other Blue Jay fan who was so disheveled.
With the glasses and threw his his glove.
Are you that disheveled? You can't talk to us? Just give us a call. We want to talk to you. It's over with. You don't have a baseball. Your life's normal the way it was.
Yeah, but I think maybe, like, you know, he might not have supposed to be there or something. You know what I mean?
You're probably right, Noodles, but it's over now. Everyone knows. Cat's out of the bag, right? Like, if you told your wife or something, hey, I've got a night class tonight.
He's choked, though. He's choked.
I think that's what it is. Like, he went to the game thinking,
I'm going to get it.
Catching this ball, and the ball came off the bat, and he probably had a heart attack. Because if that thing's coming at you on a rope, too, your heart would be racing, and it hit his glove. $300,000 hit his glove. Someone made it rain with $300,000, and you didn't catch a bill, let alone $300,000.
Anyway, yeah, that's tough. I mean, I felt bad for the guy, but I can understand. Not everyone wants to talk about it.
If you're not comfortable, you're not comfortable. And not everyone's got a friend named Larry. And
I don't understand why Larry didn't want to speak. Like, Larry's the farthest away from the ball in that picture.
Right.
I think Larry's wearing the white jersey, and he's a grit grinder.
Larry's in the Yankee gear, I think. But anyway. He's a big Yankee fan. That's what Frankie was saying. All right, so the Jays are off. You know what the Jays missed an opportunity to do last night, too, was party and clinch with an off day today. What an amateur move to come out and start the game the way they started. Mitch White did Mitch White things, and Adam Simber. Simber should be the happiest guy in the city that Judge stole the show last night because him throwing the ball away and then not covering home plate. Again, fundamentals awful last night for the Jays, but they could have won that game and partied and had the day off today, and obviously it didn't happen. But we'll get into it more later this afternoon. We've got some news in Leafland. We'll talk about it. We got a Thursday nighter tonight. Team Outdog will be on the clock. Tua is playing for the Miami Dolphins.
This back up a second. Team Luke's brother's dog.
Oh,
that's right. Luke Wilson's a part of the crew, the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. Three of you now. Okay. We'll get to that later. What's it? What? Plug the name again. What is it?
Luke's brother's dog.
Okay. Team Luke's brother's dog
versus
Team Hayes. And you guys are on the clock tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right. Marcellus Wiley in about a half an hour. You got the Thursday nighter tonight. Miami in Cincinnati. Playing your Bengals, and your Bengals are favored tonight. So we'll get to those picks and more of a breakdown later this afternoon. But last night, as we know, the Jays end up losing. Judge hit 61. But down the road, the Leafs win 3-0. Geno Malgin with a goal. Nick Robertson with a goal. Matt Murray, 16 stops on 16 shots. And
perfect start. I know people think, and we all say it, we all know it, exhibition. That was a terrible hockey game. It was
terrible.
Yeah, it's almost unwatchable.
Camp. It was fantasy camp, honestly, for like 10
it
players
like
out
it,
there or more.
But mentally, for him to go in front of that crowd and have the jersey on and have a clean sheet, I think if you want to look at the mental aspect, Hayes, which you don't often, it's big.
Yeah. He did his job last night.
Yep.
It was fine. You know, like, regardless of the quality of competition, anything like that early, you're seeing a lot of people complaining about the amount of exhibition games and kind of the diluted
people complain
talent.
About everything. Jesus.
Well, I know.
God,
I'm just saying, like,
look at all the garbage going on in the world, and someone's on Twitter, there's too many exhibition games. It's like,
God. Listen, both of these guys couldn't have had better debuts, even though it was exhibition in that.
Yeah.
They both look solid, and that's all you can ask for. Is just, I think if you had no noise around goaltending this season, you've had a great year.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
And there hasn't been noise when those two guys have been. Like, Hazy, I was kidding around, not really with the mental approach, but if he goes in there and gets kind of shelled with the, you know, four or five go in, everyone's like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be a negative start, and you do not want to start that way, exhibition
or
not.
I think the analogy is the first pitch, if you singing the anthem. You throw it over the plate, or you get the lyrics correct, and everyone says, yeah, you're supposed to do that. Great.
Right.
If you butcher the lyrics or hit a mascot, everyone panics. And
exactly. That's
what would have happened last night. And, you know, that's probably unfair to Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov, that if you play well, everyone will say, good for you, but it's only exhibition. Let's see what happens. Meanwhile, if you played poorly, it would have led to, I think, more of a panic or more of a conversation about what's going on. But to their credit, that's exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And listen, Murray's stats the last 3 years, well documented. We know what's going on. We know it's a reclamation project. But he is a big boy that's been in the league for a long time. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you would expect he can handle it, and that's what we saw last night. I thought he handled the media really well. I thought it was just an overall, like, positive night
strong
for Matt
night.
Murray. Exactly what you want. Exactly what you need.
If he would allow 4 goals on 16 shots last night, Frankie Lasagna would have been pushed to 445 because we would have started the show talking about Matt Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just – and you're right. He got it perfect last night. Samsonov played well the other night. Regardless of who and quality of competition, all of that, it was a nice, efficient, solid night.
Mm-hmm.
And you build on that. And guess what? You got to get better next game, and they're going to have a few more. And then when it really matters, that's when the pressure starts. I don't think
there's pressure.
But I think they did exactly what they needed to do. Murray looked solid. And that's all. Like, I thought a few guys played well. Outside of that, it was a bad hockey game to watch. But
and you mentioned Gino Malgin.
Yeah.
Gino Malgin scored again, and the kid Nick Robertson scored, and it's great. It's good to see them score goals. Maybe Gino Malgin sticks around for a while, but I try to explain it to people when I'm in the grocery store and they come up and tell me how good Nick Robertson is and Gino Malgin. I'm like, yeah, that's great. They scored a goal. Gino Malgin's scored 2 goals. But what has to happen if these people that are approaching me, talking to me about how good these guys are, you have to understand that come a regular season game, they are going to receive 0 minutes of power play time to have little time and space to have skill. So they have to find a way to bring some type of consistent 5-on-5 game where they can be productive and help the team be successful. Nick Robertson can't be in the lineup if once every 3 months he's looking for that stretch pass and he scores a goal, because that's just not enough contribution as a player. So that's where those types of guys, they have to figure out how to play a consistent 5-on-5 game, because their power play minutes will almost be 0 with the big boys that are out there, because they have the green light to stay out for the 2 minutes,
and they deserve
that.
That's right, exactly. And if you're a depth piece, you're a 5-on-5 player.
That's right. And like I said, Nick Robertson, he's got flash and dash. He's got little moves and a shot. But he has to find a way to be productive shift after shift, even when he's been sitting there for 4 or 5 minutes. He can't be going out there looking for stretch passes all the time. If he gets one, great. But how often are those going to happen in that league? I don't know.
And how often are you going to score on that shot? Like, that's a bad goal. It's a good shot by him, but Mount Montenbaum, like, that, you shouldn't score from there.
No, and like, Noodles, I'm not down on the kid. I think he's got a good little skill set. But what he's got to do is find different ways to contribute. Like, I don't know if he kills penalties. So there's going to be an allotment of ice time that's not going to be very, very big.
Well,
and he's got to find a way to bring a consistent NHL game where the coach has confidence to continue to put him out on the ice.
I'm glad he played well last night because I want to see him play again. And I'm sure the Leafs are the same way. Like, let's get him out there. Let's put him in situations. Let's see if he's ready to make the next step consistently. He's a young guy. They've drafted him. They're developing him. Let's if he's not ready, they can put him in the Marlies and continue to grow him. But it's a homegrown kid that you want to, you know, get. You're rooting for him. Put it that way.
Right.
And I think there's certainly a lot of ability. He scored at every level. So, you know, place him in situations to have success. But you're right, he's not going to get power play time. He's not going to get a lot of the clean looks that you're able to get when Matthews and Marner aren't in the lineup. So he's going to have to find other ways to be a really good player, and he's a young player still learning. So, no, it's not a shot at him. He did exactly what he needed to do last night, and he played well. He's going to get another look. There's a couple other guys that played well. I mean, you're trying to make it through games without, you know, losing players. Another two guys last night
was two defensemen go out quick. Jordy Benn, who's going to be a part of this program in some capacity, injured and likely out for a while now with a groin injury. And as a result, you wake up this morning and Rasmus Sandin has found a way to come to terms with a deal with the Leafs. We've talked about this for months. We now have the answer. We'll come back and break it down. Rasmus Sandin, his two-year deal at 2.8 total. And the top 50 list for TSN is going to be revealed soon. Numbers 41 through 50 come out tomorrow. There are a few big Canadian omissions. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so we got some breaking news here. The Red Sox have beaten the Baltimore Orioles, which means the Blue Jays are officially into the playoffs. And does that mean they go down to the clubhouse and have the champagne party with no one around? Do they rent out Frankie Lasagna's restaurant and party down there?
Are they traveling or are they at home?
I think they're still in town. I think they were planning on watching it together today.
They're
probably
right
down at the ballpark. You fire it up and then take it deep, just like Yankees. Amazing Judge and the boys were. They probably had 100 vodkas each, and he went out there and hit his 61st homer.
Yeah, that's very true. And that was the thing. You're watching that game last night. You're like, was Mitch White partying with the Yankees? Who clinched the night before?
But I know.
Where did they get him from?
He was from the Dodgers. That's a sign. When the Dodgers, who are putting together one of the great seasons of all time.
When the Dodgers call, you hang up.
Yes. Generally, you're supposed to. He was a deadline guy. And anyway, Rasmus Sandin has locked in a two-year deal at a cap hit of $1.4 million per, which, by all accounts, based on all the reporting, is exactly what was on the table the whole time. Now, the second year being $1.6 million means his qualifying offer clearly can be higher, and I guess there was some back and forth on that front. But effectively, the way I read this is, Dubas and company held their ground and said, we're not giving you any more. I don't care how many guys get injured. I don't care where you think you're going to start your season, if you're in Stockholm, in Toronto, wherever. This is it. You get the exact same deal as Liljegren. And quite frankly, I think that's what he deserved.
Yeah.
Based on the fact, like, I think has a higher ceiling.
Sure.
If I'm building a team, I would take Sandin over Liljegren. But he's barely played in the league. He's still finding his footing. He's had injury problems. And they're both young guys. Liljegren's done everything he was supposed to, right? Down with the Marlies, good soldier, came up, played well last year with more opportunities. So, you know, I don't know why he had to wait a week into
camp. What
were
you doing, Hayes, is the question. But it's like, that's kind of shady agent work. It's like, don't you have to tell your client, if you're going to go sit in Sweden, you've got to be prepared to sit there all year long. For what, a couple hundred grand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be the game plan. I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure William Nylander was willing to sit in Sweden the whole
year. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Different.
So then it's like you miss an important part of training camp for a young kid, important reps, for what? For nothing. It was just silliness. It's goofy work. It's not smart is what it is.
Two things. I think the Nylander situation completely different. Nylander comes from, his dad went through that whole process. Like, I think his dad was involved in that process and helping his son along. Whether we agreed with it or not, At the end of the day, like, his dad has gone through many contracts. With Sandin, I can't believe that that's Lewis Gross going, you know what, sit there. To me, it's the player going, I'm every bit as good or better than this. I want Dursey's deal, this and that. And at the end of the day, it's cooler heads prevailed. But, you know, I don't blame that on Lewis Gross. I think it's the player that tells the agent, I want to play, let's get this done. And he was willing to do that.
That's... Yeah, and based on the injuries, I think there is an argument to be made that a lot of the gripe from Sandin was opportunity, you know, was based on opportunity. And now there's been injuries. There likely will continue to be injuries. And I don't know, maybe Dubas, I doubt Dubas promised him anything last night compared to what he had been promising him the previous 2 or 3 months. But Sandin is going to come in. I think it's a smart PR play that not many people are going to really believe. In fact, probably nobody, that he saw the injuries last night. No, I had to be there for the boys now, so let's get this deal done. I mean, I think that's very rich. But you might as well try it. You might as well play that angle, you know, and come in here. And you've only missed a week, and you're a young guy. So you still have 2 weeks. You still have 2 weeks to get up to speed. You got to think he'll be there the next couple of days. He'll still be able to play at least 2 or 3 preseason games. So he may be a little bit behind the ball. I think that would be expected. But I expect now, if there are all these injuries, he'll be playing opening night. And
yeah,
you got him on term for 2 years. Yeah, like him and Liljegren are pieces of the puzzle that they've drafted, developed, and they believe can be a part of this team moving forward. And now you got them both locked on term at 1.4 for 2 years. So, you know, in the end, I think Dubas deserves credit for not wilting, because he should never have wilted, and he didn't.
Well,
and this is how it plays out.
There was no leverage. I just don't think there was any leverage play for Sandin, unfortunately.
Like, so now
just
go out there and
three
and
more D could have been
career.
Hurt, Jamie, and I think they still wouldn't have called him and said, we're dying for you to get back. Here's more money.
I don't think they
would have done it.
I think he realized, as the kid realized, like, it's an opportunity for me to hit the ground running, and there's space there to jump up in the lineup. Because where was he going to play if Muzzin was healthy? Riley, Muzzin, Giordano. Where's he playing? So right side? I mean,
Possibly, third
pairing right side. Because I don't think he would be he wouldn't be ahead of Brody. He's not going to be ahead of Hull, I don't think. And then, you know, Liljegren and him are a coin flip, depending on who you want.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's the right play. It's an opportunity, but it probably shouldn't have come to this. But that's the business side. Put it behind you and
it happens, exactly. And no one's going to remember it if you play, and in 2 years you're a quality piece and they end up work, you know, you're still an RFA and they work out a deal and he's here long term. You know, it's not as if he missed real games. So I think for Rasmus Sandin, he played a card. It didn't work. He might argue the second year, the qualifying offer, all that stuff, it was worth it. I'm not sure if it was or not. I would maybe he realized this morning when they called, if Dubas was still not going to change anything based on the injuries, he realized, really, it is an ultimatum. They're not moving. They're not buzzing. So am I going to sit here all year, or am I just going to come back and play? And I think he made the right decision. Come back and play. Get your 2 years and find a way into the lineup. And now, you know, if they're all healthy, the Leafs defense, it is a position of strength, where if you have Riley and Brody and Muzzin and Giordano and Sandin and Liljegren now have NHL experience. Hall is an NHL, you know, experienced right shot defenseman. Jordy Benn, if he's healthy. Like, you got a lot of depth on the back end. It should be a position of strength for them. So I think that was a smart play for Sandin. As for this top 50 list, TSN is revealing, they are going to reveal numbers 41 through 50 tomorrow.
And did you get a sneak peek at it? I didn't get it.
I have not seen it either. I just saw what they revealed today on .ca was Brady Tkachuk was number 51. I don't know how we conclude who number 51 is and what the algorithms are, but Brady Tkachuk was outside the top 50. John Tavares outside the top 50. Mark Scheifele and Elias Pettersson all outside the top 50.
I had one of those guys on my... in my top 50, Pettersson. The other three I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't have Brady Tkachuk in mine. I think I had the other guys in my in the 40s, I believe.
You
I
had
have to
Tavares
go back and
on
look.
There?
Yeah, I did. I was going through the list, and Listen, I've been the one saying I think he's closer to 25 and 65. But I think he plays a lot of minutes, power play guy. He's still, defensively pretty sound, good in the draws. But, yeah, Pedersen, I guess this is Kachuk, the rest of TSN saying he's not a top 50 player anymore.
Pedersen, Kachuk, Tavares, who is the fourth
Shifley.
Again?
And Shifley.
Yeah. Tavares is the only guy out of that group that I did not have in my top 50.
And that is not good. think about that. You're paying him $11 million. I'm not saying you.
I'm saying for the
Leafs and Tavares. I'm saying if you're paying – and, again, it doesn't have to mean anything. It's a list before you drop the puck.
Okay, but did you have him on yours?
I believe I did. I'd have to go back and look. I had him somewhere in the 40s, somewhere in the high 40s. But, yeah, listen, I can't argue against it. It's not like I had him in the top 20. He's holding on. If he's not in the top 50, he's, 53, 55, 57.
Right.
And he's one of the top 10 paid players in the league. That's not a good reality for the Leafs. Marcellus Wiley into the next hour. More on this list, more on the Leaf game last night, the Jays game last night. The Jays are clinching as we speak. They are off to the wild card. We knew it was coming, but now it is a locked-in deal with Baltimore losing today.